Hello.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
I'm waiting for another person.
Okay.
But I'm going to go forward, even if it's just you. We'll just wait another minute or so.
Okay.
Please join me in saying the Adabakoa. Gedula chemin sa tati serura alephet kimel yutat sadi kabel rinat amcha sagbenu Acharenu Nora Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimodalad Yud Kav Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sitkacha Tamid Gamlem Betetresh Saditav Kimmel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tucha Nael Adatecha Et Kufpet Tet Nunayan. The letters of the month of Tishrei. The Pei that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus. And the Lamed that created the constellation Amoznaim, the scales, which is the astrological sign of Libra. Yachid Geah Lamcha Pnei Zochre Kiddushatecha Yud Gimel Lamed Hei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Tav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and now we're going to utilize the 13 attributes of mercy to separate the good aspect of this creation from the negative aspect. And the good and the negative is essentially our perceptions. Adonai Yohei Wahei Adonai Yohei Wahei El Rachum V'Chanun Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed V'Emet Notze Chesed L'Alafim Notze Avon V'Fesha V'Chata'a Now we're going to read the verses that connect to the energy of the years. This year is the year of the goat. The verse that we connect to is Lamentations, Echa, Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. This verse has five words. When we take the first letter of each of those words, excuse me, we're able to parse those letters into three words in Hebrew, Satz Ki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. And it teaches us the adage that we've all heard in the modern world, fake it till you make it. If you appear like a brother, eventually you'll become a brother. The final letters of these five words permutes into two Hebrew words, dear, yam. And this translates as a sea of tenants, reminding us that we don't live in this physical world. We live in heaven. We live in a different spiritual place. And as the sea of tenants reminds us that while we're here as a tenant. We need to take care of the world. We need to take care of our bodies. We need to take care to do our spiritual work. There's another word, another verse that connects to this year of the goat, because the name of the year is Tafshin Ayin Zion, and this particular verse, Joshua chapter 23, verse 8, has those four letters in an equal letter sequence, meaning separated by seven letters. Those four letters are separated by seven letters. And this is an indication that this verse is connected to the energy of this year. Kim Badonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tad Baku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Azeh. Now we're going to read three verses that connect to the energy of the year 5776, which is the year of the pause between two extremely negative years, the pause that refreshes, the pause that gives you a chance to do teshuvah. The first of those verses is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha'olot v'yechaskum achechem ha'levi'im ad kelot hamlacha Yad Yitkachu HaKohanim Ki HaLevim Yishrei Levav Lehitkadesh Me HaKohanim. That verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Aka Are Kaha. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4 is the second verse that connects to this energy of pause, the year 5776. Bithu ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Adead Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Tzur Olamim. Now there are going to be three verses that connect us to the energy of the year 5775. The year that swallows death forever. First verse is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second of the three verses is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, Udu, Asher yitchabe sham washavtem Eilayel nachon V'halakti yitchem V'chayayim yeshno Aretz v'chipaski Oto b'kol alfe Yehuda. The third of the verses is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved ro'av yomru ayo. This next verse connects to the energy of 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East. We say this verse, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, in order to maintain the ceasefire that was created in that year, and also to expand the ceasefire to be a ceasefire on all the borders, and ultimately to be a peace treaty on all the borders. Wesamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakam takta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. Now we're going to read a verse from the Zohar. Comes from the Parasha of Yitro, and it's Pasuk 29 in the Sulam commentary. It's a verse in the Zohar that connects directly to the energy of certainty. And we're going to start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kud shabarichu ishkin te bit hilu Urchimu hilu hilu urchimu Le'afta l'shem yudei b'vav he B'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael Limud Torah mitzvah La'asok Torah mitzvah Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tanenan Dekucha Berichu Kol Madi Aved Le'ela Wittata Kolayiru Geshot V'Ovada Dikshot V'Leit Lach Mila V'Alma Divae Barnash V'dachya le'ya mineya ulan haga Be'yal kelana de'hakulu ovada Dikshot inun wikola itzterich be'alma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And now the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And now I'm going to mention certain tzaddikim that left this day, which is the 25th day of Tishrei. And it's recommended, and I'll tell you how to find the Hilulah page, the page that has these names, because it changes each day as different tzaddikim chose to leave on different days. And by connecting to them, there's a connection between the energy of the day and the energy of the Tzaddik and your study on this particular day, or our study. So you find the links, the link on underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage. And if you scroll down below the two pictures, it'll say Hilula Yortzeit. When you click on that link, scroll down to where you see the list of months. And the month of this month is the month of Tishrei. When you open up that link, you can scroll down to a matrix of the days of the month. And today is the 25th, and it will open up the first person, the first tzaddik, a very famous one, is Rabbi Levi Yitzhak of Berdichev. And there's information about his writings, this person, this tzaddik. All you need to do is read his name and verbalize his name out loud. And he comes to support our study tonight. Rabbi Moshe Sofer, the Chatam Sofer, another tzaddik that it is well worth, very famous, and it's well worth studying about and ultimately from. Rabbi David Matiyahu Rabinowitz, the Biala Rebbe from Bnei Baras in Israel. He died in 1997. Rabbi Yehuda Lieb, the Magid of Astraha, was a student of the Baal Shem Tov. Rabbi Benjamin of Slatsitz was also a student of the Baal Shem Tov. And Rabbi Yom Tov Lipman Helprin was the author of a book, Kedushat Yom Tov, The Holiness of the Holidays. Today's class is Advanced Reincarnation. We'll find the link on row 11 of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the second column from the left. When you click on that link, Advanced Reincarnation Classes, it will open up, and if you scroll down to where you see Class 3A, that will be where we are starting today. And I will mention that last, or 2 weeks ago, which was our last Advanced Reincarnation class, I noticed that this particular page and these sections from, I believe, 6 to 8, was missing from the links, and so I reinstated it. So the class, the section 9 that we read 2 weeks ago, we may read again or not as we determine based on what these particular sections teach us. We're starting with chapter 1, section 6, and it's titled Asiya. The physical world is different than Yetzirah, Bria, and Atzilut, the three spiritual worlds. It is important to explain a difference between the Nefesh of Asiya and the rest of the divisions, Yetzirah, Bria, and Atzilut. This will also help us to answer a difficult question. How can a person whose root is in Malchut of Asiya be able to ascend to the Keter of Asiya? Since every child of Israel must reincarnate until all the aspects of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida are completed, then by necessity, every child of Israel will ascend to the Keter of Asiya, and then eventually to the Keter of Yetzirah, and then finally to the Keter of Briah. That being the case, then all the others, the lower levels, would eventually become nullified. That's the question that's being asked. Since you could be below a higher level, the root of your soul being below that higher level, how do you get to that higher level? Continuing to read. Since all the children of Israel, after all of their Gilgulim, their reincarnations, would eventually reach the highest level, no one would be different, and no one would remain on any of the lower levels. However, that can never be the case. My commentary. Is it true that they would become nullified? A candle in the light of the sun still adds light to the day, just not a significant amount. Rabbi Techer's commentary is very significant, since it is actually hinting at how do we unify with other people without losing our own diversity. Continuing to read. However, it is unimaginable. Obviously, there are children of Israel who are on the level of Malchut, and others from Yesod, etc. As mentioned at the beginning of the Sefer HaTikunim, there are leaders of thousands of Israel from the side of Keter. There are wise men from the side of Chachma, and men of understanding from the side of Bina. Clearly, the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, is composed of many types of individuals with different abilities and strengths, which are determined by their soul roots. My commentary. This last phrase, determined by their soul roots, is very significant. It hints at the truth that our abilities come from our soul roots. If someone is from the leg of Adam, they will be fast runners. If they come from the voice box of Adam, they will have a wonderful, beautiful voice to sing with. All attributes come from Adam, those we need to correct, and those that give us pleasure and build our ego, and those that just make us ourselves. However, the explanation is based upon the difference between Asiya and all the other three worlds. For someone whose root is in the Malchut of Asiya is obviously rooted there specifically. Yet by rectifying his actions, he can purify his nefesh level after level, until it actually reaches and becomes part of the Keter of Asiya. Nevertheless, though it ascends to the Keter of Asiya, even there it remains on the level of the Malchut of the Keter of Asiya, since its root is on the level of Malchut specifically. And I'm going to pause here because I remember I forgot to say the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach. So we're going to say that now and then continue. The eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach is So now we're continuing to read where we left off in our class. His soul root, the level of Malchut of Asiya, remains, though it ascends as a result of his spiritual improvements. Because of its root in Malchut, when it ascends to the Keter of Asiya, it becomes the Malchut of that level. However, he must be purified until he actually ascends to the Keter of Asiya. Even though it will only be called the level of Malchut of Keter of Asiya, this is true regarding any of the levels of Asiya to which he may ascend. he will only be considered the malchut of that level. For example, if he reaches the yesod of Asiyah, he will only be considered the malchut of the yesod of Asiyah, etc., level by level. However, concerning Yetzirah, Briah, and Atzilut, it, the process, is different. A person whose soul root is Malchut of Yetzirah, who has rectified and completed that level, also receives a Ruach from the Yesod of Yetzirah, after he has also purified and rectified the Yesod of Yetzirah. As opposed to simply becoming the Malchut of the Yesod of Yetzirah, as was the case on the level of Asiyah. The first Ruach that he had from the Malchut of Yetzirah remains below, in its original place. In the Malchut of Yetzirah, since that is where it belongs. Unlike the levels in Asiyah, which actually ascend from level to level. My commentary. Why do you think the world of Asiyah is different than the others? The answer is, Asiyah is the lowest of all worlds, and is therefore encompassed by the Klipot. And if these levels would remain below and not rise up to the Keter of Asiyah, they could be taken back by the Klipot. So the system needed to be different. The natural laws in those levels, in that world, needs to be different. Continuing to read. Likewise, when he completes the Hod of Yetzirah, he leaves the second Ruach that he had from Yesod in Yesod of Yetzirah. And instead, he receives a Ruach from the Hod of Yetzirah. And this is the way it continues up to the Keter of Yetzirah. Since he has rectified all the levels of his Nefesh from Asiyah, he is able to receive Ruach from all levels of Yetzirah. It will be likewise with respect to the Neshama from Beriah. The reason for this difference is that Asiyah is the lowest of all worlds and is therefore encompassed by the Klipot. Now, if you don't understand this terminology, you should listen to the earlier classes, because essentially I'm repeating some of the words, I'm explaining some of the words, but as Rabbi Ashlag or Rabbi D'Ari had explained, he cannot constantly say everything over and over. One has to begin to realize these code words and their meanings such that the code words become part of who you are and you recognize them immediately upon hearing them. I'm continuing to read. The word klipot means encasements, like the peel of a fruit or the shell of a nut. It refers to the extreme opposite of spiritual purity and holiness, and is therefore the element within creation that makes possible spiritual impurity and sinful action. Sometimes the klipot are called chitzoniyot, which means externalities. Being the least spiritually pure element in creation, it is the furthest from the light, and therefore at the bottom of all the worlds. Consequently, even though a person has already rectified the root level of his nefesh in Asiyah, still if he leaves it on that level, there is a fear that the klipot there will latch onto it once again. Since evil has no independent existence of its own, it derives spiritual nourishment and strength from the side of holiness. But for its own evil purpose, the closer something holy is to the klipot, the more vulnerable it is, and the more desirable it appears to the klipot as a source of nourishment. Therefore, he must constantly refine his actions until he rises as high as he can, until he reaches his roots in the Keter of Asiyah. However, in the world of Yetzirah, and how much more so in the worlds above it, there is no fear of the klipot latching on as there was in Asiyah. This is because there are no klipot. There are no shells in the higher worlds. Only in the world of Asiyah, in all of its levels, except for the Keter. However, in the world of Yetzirah, and more so in the worlds above it, there is no fear of the klipot attaching on, as there was in Asiyah. The ability of the klipot to latch on is eliminated on this more sublime level. Hence, when a person rectifies the root of his ruach in Yetzirah, he can rectify another ruach from a higher level. Then the first ruach can remain in its place in his roots. He can acquire a second from a higher place without having to raise up the first ruach to a higher place, because the fear of the klipot latching on is not there in the world of Yetzirah, in the world of Bria, and in the world of Yatzilut. My commentary. Klipa, singular, or klipot, plural, is a veil or a covering on the light within, similar to the idea of a fruit peel covering or veiling the soft, sweet fruit within. We now have three terms regarding the fulfillment of the revelation of light. There are, at the most internal, the fulfillment or the light itself. Then there is a vessel, which is an outer garment for the light. Then there is a veil on the light, which is the klipa. What is the difference between the vessel, which is a desire to receive and reveals the light, and the klipa? The difference has to do with the purity of the desire. If the desire is for oneself alone, the vessel is a klipa. If the desire to receive is for sharing the vessel itself is a vessel and not a klipa. Of course, the more desire to receive for oneself alone, the more opaque the veil is. And from the perspective of being outside of the light vessel klipa garment relationship, the light is perceived as darkness or less illuminating. The light never changes, yet the perception of the observer outside of the outer layers is changed by the thickness of the desire to receive for oneself alone. If the desire is to share, then the vessel is clear, and there is not perceptible loss of perception outside of the garment or the outer level. Yet we must realize that even at the most internal level, the light is still a vessel, revealing its fulfillment for itself. Using a metaphor of percentage, A vessel with 99% desire to receive for oneself alone will allow only 1% of the light to shine through the wall of the vessel. This is how we can begin to understand the Midrash that says that Adam's skin was as clear as the fingernail material in our bodies. And that is why the angels could not stand to see Adam, since his light was too strong for their desire to receive. It is from these teachings and understandings that Rabbi Ashlag was able to develop his theory of relativity, in which there is no absolutes, only one thing is relative to another. I hope this metaphor is helpful for you. That is the end of chapter 6, or section 6 of chapter 1. Are there any questions? Continuing to read section 7. To be like Moshe. The subject of this section is an esoteric interpretation of the verse from 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14, according to the principle that was explained in the preceding section about the difference between Asiyah and the worlds above it. The following is the esoteric meaning of the verse from 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14. The verse reads in the Hebrew, Ki mod me'amot vekamim hanegarim arza asher lo yesosu velo yisa Elohim nefesh v'chashev machshavot lebiliti yadat mimano nedach. The translation: for we must needs die and are as water split on the ground, spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, but let him devise means that he that is banished be not an outcast from him. Alternative translation from the Kabbalah Online website. God spares, the word is Yisa, no one, nefesh, no soul. He considers thoughts so that no one be banished from him. My commentary. Please note that the important part of the verse, according to this discussion, is the latter part of the verse. This is not to say that we should ignore the balance of the verse. Turn it, for everything is in it. Rabbi Bagbag in Perkei Avot, section of the Talmud, is expressing. These considerations that no one be banished are only for the sake of the nefesh, since the nefesh is in Asiyah, and thus because of the klipot they are in danger of being banished from him. The banished one refers to King David's son, Absalom, who had fled from his father after having his half-brother Amnon killed in revenge for violating Absalom's sister, Tamar. The verse is addressed to King David, asking him to allow Absalom to return home. However, the secret, the sod, the esoteric understanding of the verse is that it is talking about the nefesh of a person, asking the God that it not be banished amongst the klipot, which can latch onto it. Therefore, because of this concern, the remedy for the nefesh is that God does spare Yisa, the nefesh. The word employed by the verse, Yisa, is translated as spare, but the more literal translation is to lift up, which leads to the following esoteric explanation of the verse. In other words, God does not lift up Noseh and raise a person in order to give him another nefesh from a higher level than that of his actual root. This would necessitate leaving behind the first one in its place, leaving it vulnerable to the klipot there. In other words, as the person moved to a higher level of nefesh, the lower level of nefesh that was left behind would no longer be in use, which would render it vulnerable to the klipot. Accordingly, he, God, does not give him another nefesh more elevated and exalted. Rather, the original nefesh itself ascends upward according to the person's actions. Up until the level of the Keter of Asiyah, he never possesses any other nefesh. However, this is not the case in Yetzirah and the other worlds, where his ruach or his neshama, etc., are. They remain on the level of its root. Instead, the person earns an additional higher ruach commensurate with the perfection of his deeds, as discussed earlier, as an unwritten commentary. What it's saying is, you have that level of ruach at the lowest level of that world, and then you receive another ruach at a higher level of consciousness, thereby adding additional soul, additional desire to receive. And this additional desire to receive is how you grow spiritually. Continuing to read. Beyond the world of Asiyah, the holiness is such that the klipot can no longer latch on to a vacated soul level. Therefore, the soul level which a person is ascending need not ascend with the person as he goes up from level to level. This is the esoteric meaning of the well-known statement, every person can be like our teacher Moshe if he is willing to perfect his actions, for by doing so he continues to acquire higher levels of ruach until he finally attains the uppermost level of Yetzirah. Similarly, the advancement continues, and a person can ultimately obtain a neshama from the uppermost part of Briah. My commentary. We can now begin to appreciate the meaning of the statement by our sages. Malchut has no light of its own. These higher ruachs and these higher neshamot and these higher chayot are acting as lights to the lower ruachs and neshamots, acting as vessels. Another example of relativity in action. Please note that ETC period is listing as applying to Atzilut and the Chaya level of soul. This is true even if the Chaya does not enter the body. Chapter 1, Section 8. But before I go on, does anybody have any questions? We will now digress to discuss the concept of Ibor. As an introduction to Ibor, the soul of a tzaddik coming to impregnate souls of normal people, help from heaven. According to this, you can also understand another well-known concept of our rabbis. The ruchot, or the neshamot of the righteous, are infused into a person in accord with the esoteric principle called ibur, pregnancy, to assist a person in his service of God. The concept of ibur is not the same concept that was mentioned earlier in section 5. Although the nomenclature is the same, literally, ibur refers to the embryo during the state of pregnancy. In this case, it refers to the impregnation of a person with the soul of a tzaddik, which descends into the soul of a living person to assist the latter in his spiritual devotions. The Talmud informs us that someone who comes to purify himself is assisted from on high. As it is written in the Midrash Ne'elam, which is part of the Zohar, still in handwritten manuscript form, concerning the statement that someone who comes to purify himself, they help him. The Midrash Ne'elam is one of the books included in the Holy Zohar. The Talmud informs us that someone who comes to purify himself is assisted from on high. The Midrash Ne'elam now explains this statement according to Rabbi Nathan. Rabbi Nathan said, "The souls of the righteous come and help him." This is the type of heavenly assistance that may be granted. The soul of a tzaddik will descend and become impregnated within the soul of a person who sets out to purify himself. It is also a form of divine inspiration. Similar sources are found elsewhere in the holy writings. The soul of Rav Hamuna Saba appeared in the form of a simple workman transporting merchandise on a donkey. The same is found in the introduction to the Zohar on Genesis, where Rav Hamuna Saba came to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Abba in the appearance of a donkey loader. A donkey loader is a manual laborer charged with loading the burdens onto donkeys. That is, the soul of Rav Hamuna Saba appeared to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Abba in the form of a simple workman who transports merchandise on a donkey in order to reveal to them secrets of the Zohar. Undoubtedly, the ruchot and the neshamot of tzaddikim are hidden away and bound up with the bundle of life, each in his respective root, and God does not cause them to descend at all. However, what descends are the ruchot that remained behind at each level of Yetzirah, and which did not ascend as we have spoken about. As the righteous person ascended from level to level in the world of Yetzirah, he left behind precious levels of ruach. As he received new ones in their place, the levels of ruach that were no longer used became available to descend to help others in need of divine assistance in their service of God. It is these that descend and either enter other people to help them. However, the highest level of ruach that the righteous person acquired as a result of his deeds is bound up forever with the bundle of life after he dies, and it does not move from there. This is true concerning the levels of neshama, the levels of chaya, and the level of yeshida as well. let us review. Asiya is the lowest of the worlds, in proximity to the Klipot, and in constant danger of attack by them. When each level of Asiya was completed, the protection level of Nefesh from Asiya itself ascended to the next level, to the same aspect of the soul root on the next level. In this way, all the completed levels of Asiya ascended to the highest place in Asiya, the Keter of Asiya, albeit in accord with the aspect of the original soul root. In the higher worlds of Yetzirah, Briah, etc., the situation is different. There, each completed level of soul remains in its place. The reason for this difference was also explained. Asiya is the lowest of the worlds. Consequently, it is in proximity to the Klipot and in constant danger of attack by them. Therefore, each completed level of soul ascends to a higher level in order to distance it as much as possible from the Klipot. In the higher worlds, however, there is no such danger. Therefore, each completed level of soul may remain in its place. Based on this difference between Asiya and the higher worlds, we digressed in this section to learn something about the concept of Ibor. Since there was an ascent from level to level in the worlds of the Yetzirah, the lower levels of soul that were completed there and remained in place are now available to descend to impregnate the souls of other people. This infusion, or Ibor, takes place in order to assist these people in their divine service. My commentary. Why the same term Ibor is used for two different ideas was explained. This is so that only those ready to go on with their spiritual growth will do so. Next week, the text will return to discuss another difference between Asiya and the higher worlds of Yetzirah, Briah, etc. Does anybody have any questions? This is the end of our class. In about an hour and a half, at 7 o'clock West Coast time, we will have another class, a Zohar class. I hope you'll join us for that. Come Saturday evening, at 6 o'clock, we will have a Havdalah service on the conference call. And the 6 o'clock is West Coast time. At 7 o'clock, we will have another Zohar class. Sunday morning at 10:30, we will be teaching a class. We're over with our preparations for the holidays. So for the next few weeks, we will have some special classes to give you. And then at 5 o'clock West Coast time, we will prepare and have prepared a new basic class. I hope you'll join us for that. And at 8 o'clock, we will also have that child. If without any questions, I will bid you all a beautiful shalom, a Shabbat shalom, much joy and happiness. Have a beautiful evening and a beautiful Shabbat. Shalom.